Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
How the times have changed in the last couple hundred years since our founding fathers in Philadelphia wrote out the Constitution, the Ten Amendments, and how things are going today and how it has really changed and how we are perceiving the Bill of Rights and what we are doing, abusing those. Is the government abusing those? Probably a little bit of both. What's going on close to home here? Close to home here up in the great state of Oregon up there. Now, the First Amendment grants you the freedom of speech and of peaceful assembly. Peaceful assembly. What started out as a peaceful assembly broke off, and it became an armed assembly up there at that national, that refuge up there in Oregon. When people go in and they go with guns and they take over, whatever it is, nothing good is going to be coming of that. Yeah, it's tough for the government to listen to a small group of people. I think we've all seen that over the course of our history. We try to do it peacefully. And a lot of people, the folks up in Oregon, Nevada, you know, with the offshoot of that last year and the year before that as well, feel that the government is too much power. They're taking too much. But you don't get answers with guns. You don't go up there and turn a peaceful demonstration and a gathering into an armed gathering. It's just not going to be good. Now, just a couple days ago, one of the members of that, of course, was killed by the FBI, and people have seen the video of that, and that's a terrible thing. Nobody wants to see that, but that is what's going to happen. Peaceful assembly. Nobody is going to argue with them when they go up there and they talk about what they believe to be their truths. They don't want the government owning all the lands in their state. It should be the state's rights. The federal government owns a lot of lands. We all know that. And it's really tough to get that away from the federal government. I think, I don't even know if it's ever really happened, but you can't go about it with guns. You can't go up there with guns. I believe in the right to bear arms and keep arms, and we need to have a militia, as the Second Amendment says. Only bad things are going to happen when you go in and you start off peacefully and then you go in with guns. It's not going to end up well, and it didn't. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, talking about freedoms with my good friend who believes in them all, Andrew Welborn. Buddy, how you doing today, pal?
You know, we're doing great as always on Friday, and it seems like I say that every week, but it's true, folks. We're doing great on Friday. We look forward to this show, this broadcast, and this is the highlight of my week to be able to take a look at what's happening across the country, across the nation, across the state of California, out there in the world, and then come out and try to say something a little bit different than what everybody else is saying out there. And Tim, you brought up some great points. And let's get there. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are podcasting on iTunes, where America's voice is heard, Tim. You know what? That Oregon thing is something that I've been watching very carefully. Yep. And I'm going to put it out there that probably those ranchers going up there armed probably held the FBI out effectively. Otherwise, I think it would have been an all-out government assault on that protest on that federal land had those individuals not been armed. However, folks, ranchers out there, look, we all like to shoot. We all think that we're pretty good shots, but you better know something. FBI agents and federal law enforcement agents are great shots. That's what they do. So if you're going to pull a firearm on a law enforcement officer, we see it all the time, man. Officers aren't, you know, especially at that federal level, those guys are highly trained when it comes to discharging that firearm. So if you're going to bear arms, as the Second Amendment says, in protest against your government, you better be ready to use them, because the government will be very effective at using them on you.
What would the spin have been media-wise here in Northern California and Oregon? It probably would have been maybe different than San Francisco, Los Angeles, and, you know, the rest of the country. But what would have been if those folks, they started off peacefully, Andrew, like I said, in the open. But then, you know, the guns became involved, and they had to offshoot. And this bad thing's going to happen. The government, you said, was probably going to go in there and take them. But how would they have looked? How would the government have looked if they'd gone in there and just busted up that peaceful gathering before the guns became involved?
Well, I think the government would have done that.
Yes.
Had the guns not been there. And, you know, that's the point. That started off as an armed protest. And, you know, they occupied a piece of federal land out of the way in order to make their point. And, you know, they did it. You know, they did not do it in a highly populated area where it could really, really get nasty. However, you know, the unfortunate incident occurred when the FBI came in on those individuals once they left the grounds for whatever reason they were leaving the grounds for. So
that's what I don't understand either. Why did they do that? Because they were just asking to get arrested. There's some kind of trouble was going to happen.
I don't know if that was a good tactical move on the FBI. You know, of course, law enforcement, we're going to have to question that as far as what they did. You know, the government needs to wake up. Individuals need to understand that, you know, that protest, whether we like it or not, I'm going to say was exactly what the Second Amendment is about. However, once again, should you choose that, folks, if you want to do an armed protest, you better be ready to use those weapons. Don't just bring them out as a show, because if you're not that profession with it, then obviously you're going to run across somebody who's probably a little bit better with that firearm than you.
You know, there are states now, Andrew, that have open carry. Texas, just, you know, we see that all the time. Would that have been a little bit different down there? Because people already would have had it, and they would have been out in the open had they gathered like that. These people were not like that until they brought out their rifles. That's what we saw on the news anyway. I mean, that's how I saw it on there. Would it have been different in a place maybe like Texas, where they already saw them right off the bat and they're like, okay, but you're still trying to get things done peacefully. And like I said, it's very difficult for the government to give in on that. They're thinking about Burns, Oregon. What's Burns, Oregon? You know what I mean, Andrew? It's just difficult to follow. If the government going to recant and let them have what they want? I don't think they would.
Well, I mean, the point is that the federal government has, you know, has encroached on these individuals.
Correct.
The EPA, these Environment Protection agencies, are preventing ranchers and the public from access to those lands. And, you know, as long as the ranchers are paying those fees, if the appointees of the EPA, okay, are utilizing raising those fees to where it is totally unaffordable to these ranchers, okay, then that's wrong.
Absolutely.
If that is their intent in order to get them off the land, then that is wrong and it needs to be checked. Look, we don't need to discard this event that's going on in Oregon, man, and I don't understand how come people don't understand what is actually happening there. You know, it's an unfortunate situation. Is it the shot heard around the world again? You know, no, it's not. But at the same time, you know, the American people need to realize what those folks are protesting. And, you know, it's way more important what they're protesting than, say, some of the Black Lives Matters groups that are out there radically shutting down commerce. You know, so when it comes down to this, folks, you know, Second Amendment is right there. Now, as far as the open carry goes in Texas and other states, you know, I'm just not, I don't know if every individual, you know, should have the right to open carry. If you're going to open carry a firearm, you better be ready to be, you know, you better use it responsibly.
Absolutely.
You better understand what that firearm is if you're going to possess one.
I absolutely agree. And I just, you know, it's kind of dominated the news what has happened up there in Oregon. I totally agree with you, what you say on that, with the weapons. They should be able to have those, and that is what the Second Amendment is there for. And the government, like you said, if the Bundy family, from going back a couple of years, they've had that for generations in their grazing lands. And then the one to kick them off that and to raise it.
The Bundys didn't want to pay. I'm not going to try to validate these guys as heroes or anything like that. Look, they got away with it once down in Clark County, Nevada, and then to go up and do the same thing as far as bearing arms, you know, that's what they did. They bore arms, Tim. From the very beginning, when they stepped on that federal property, they had their firearms. It didn't all of a sudden, they just brought them out. They stepped on those lands armed, and that was the point. And those firearms prevented the federal government from going in immediately and removing them.
Absolutely. Good point, Andrew. Thank you.
Okay, folks, time for something you should know, you don't know, maybe you don't want to know, but you're going to know that right now. Today's date in history. Of course, the year is 1834. President Jackson orders the first use of U.S. troops to suppress a labor dispute. Wow. 1861. United States state of Kansas is admitted to the Union as the 34th state. 1886 is the first successful gasoline-powered car patented by Carl Benz in Germany. And, of course, 1904, this is kind of cool, the first athletic letters were given to the University of Chicago football team.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you every Friday right at the news here on 1240.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Getting a little radical in that first segment, talking about what's going on in Oregon. I got to tell you, I support individuals who want to protest our government when it comes to this. And I understand the importance of the Second Amendment. And twice this family that's been up there in Oregon, and of course Clark County, Nevada, has taken on the federal government being armed and, utilizing their right to bear arms in the position that they are taken against the federal government. But I have to tell you, folks, if you're going to do that, you better be prepared for the consequences. This unfortunate tragedy that occurred up there in the name of protesting something very important. That's against that EPA. And we all know that the EPA and other government agencies are the problem with our current government. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we're podcasting on iTunes, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
I just want to make clear that, yes, we do support them in going about what they did, with bearing the arms. There is nothing wrong with that. We should be able to do that. But the consequences of that are things could turn south. And when they broke off and they wanted to get away from the compound and they were stopped by the authorities, and then that's when it escalated there.
Well, I don't know why the federal government decided to pull them over, what the reasons were.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, the federal government, I thought, has done a great job as far as peacefully trying to negotiate this, not rushing in. They learned their lesson from Waco, Ruby Ridge, and now we got Oregon as a result that's going to be championed by militias, I guess, across this nation. But when it comes down to this, haste makes waste, and no matter how we look at it, that protest, they held off the federal government because they were armed.
Absolutely.
Because they were utilizing their Second Amendment right.
The bones of the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
Whether we like it or not, folks, that's exactly what was happening. But if you want to do that, like we were talking about in the first part of the show, you better be ready for the consequences. you were talking about Philadelphia, the Congress, how we formed as a nation. I found it very interesting that Time magazine this month, they featured every now and then they do these great little specialized publications. And this one caught my attention because they were praising Alexander Hamilton, and the whole magazine were several historic articles on Alexander Hamilton. And I have to tell you, they were cliff note accurate. And what I found very interesting was there was a little bit of spin here and there as far as some of the opinions, but the historical side of Alexander Hamilton was properly portrayed in Time magazine. And my first question was why are they got Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah,
what's the reason? This you never see Time magazine ever feature, you know, a founding father
yeah.
when it comes to some of the stuff that they publish. But then it hit me. I mean, look, Alexander Hamilton to the state of New York is the equivalent of Thomas Jefferson to the state of Virginia. And we forget about New York's success was established by Alexander Hamilton. And now you've got a couple candidates that are running out of New York state for the presidency. I'm not really sure when the last president of the United States actually came out of New York.
I'm not sure, was that FDR? If he was from the back east somewhere. I know around there, it might have been somewhere back there. They can probably.
Yeah, so you got four candidates
yes.
right now from the eastern
yes,
seaboard.
You do.
And so, you know, it was just kind of fascinating. Fascinating to evaluate that. And it's a good read, folks. And if you want to, you really want to read, a good job, very easy read, Cliff Note, like I said, it's not a huge history book, but it does cover the basics. Check out that Time magazine, Alexander Hamilton. You might learn something really cool about one of our founding fathers. We do have a call online. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. Thanks for the show.
You bet, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, I'd like to remind everybody out there that the police officers in our country are mediators. They bring suspects and criminals to justice, and the justice system is supposed to do the prosecuting. That man that got shot up there in Oregon refused officers' commands, and just like anybody else, white, black, purple, or gray, he forced them to shoot him dead. Now that is a blow for responsible gun ownership. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a well-taken point.
Well, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you know, they were given opportunities. I haven't seen the video as far as exactly what happened. But no matter what, we preach all the time.
Yes.
When law enforcement has got you under their custody, do what they tell you to do.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, as the caller said, you know, you could end up dead. And so that is very, very unfortunate. Now, back to this Alexander Hamilton thing. You know, we've got this this dispute as far as removing him off of the $10 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And replacing him with some, they want to replace it with a female, a historical woman in U.S. history. And I don't know if I agree with removing Alexander Hamilton, who's the founder of basically the currency, to replace him with somebody that I don't know. I mean, we can take a look at some of the significant individuals as far as who they want to replace him with. But that's going to be kind of an interesting debate to watch. We got the phones lighting up. Hello, thank you for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Yes, this is not in support of the Bundys, but if the FBI has nothing to hide and they did not shoot the man with his hand up, why aren't they releasing the dash cam video, the body cams, the gun cams, all the video they have? We're talking about the FBI. They have drones. They know everything that everybody's doing. So why is there only this one video? And why haven't we seen any pictures of the car that was involved, the vehicle that he was in? There's people saying that there was a lot of shots fired at it. So why aren't they releasing more information so we don't question them?
Thank you for the call. That's a very good question. Like I'm, the one video I have seen is the same one that she's talking about, the aerial view. And I did not see his hands up in the air. I saw him reaching for something, what they're going to assume was a gun. And the body cam part, I don't know. Maybe they're still looking at that, and that's a very good question. Why aren't they releasing more? Because it came out with a little bit. But once you see that, you're going to want – you'd think that they would bring out everything else to show that they did everything that they could. The one aerial view looked like they gave him plenty of opportunity. We don't hear any audio, but it looked like they gave him plenty of opportunity before the last time he went – reaching around for a weapon.
Well, like I said, I haven't seen the video. We always want to give the law enforcement, especially the shooter, the benefit of the doubt unless something comes out and,
sure.
and disputes that. You know, tactical questioning is going to always be there as far as the law enforcement's, the FBI making the decision to take these guys down, to move in and to arrest them, apprehend them. But, you know, ultimately those questions are going to be answered eventually. You know, the caller, you know, has got some great points. You know, how come we don't release video? Well, there's reasons, because anytime there's an ongoing investigation, you know, they're going to hold those videos. You know, we don't want those videos to get out there in the public until we conclude
trials,
what the videos are saying. And oftentimes, you know, we find that the video evidence actually sometimes shows opposite of what the perception of that video is once it's broke down by the frame by frame, as we say. Okay, we're lighting up the lines. Welcome to 503. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Oh, this is trouble again.
That's okay.
Hey, Violet.
Hey, I sent a thing out there to the radio station, and it's Senate Report 93549. And you guys need to read it. You need to pay attention to it because it is the law we are under now. And when they put in the United Nations, you're under this law. And I don't care what you say. And over here, I stopped BLM from running water down the street when we were under a watch to waste the water. Don't waste it. And he says, it's our water. We can do what we want. And I'm being nasty. I said, it isn't your tax dollars. It's our tax dollars. It's paying you to do everything you're doing and buying everything you're buying. You get rid of the IRS, and you guys straighten up over here and quit using your tax dollars for all the dirt you're doing to the people. So they fixed their water leak.
Well, that's, you stand up to them, and they had a solution. That's great, Violet. Congratulations.
Well, yes, ma'am.
Ma'am is right.
Absolutely, we'll straighten up, especially with that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about California here real quick. Let's get talk about some of these Democrats down there, as we always do. You know, we see that some of the members of the Assembly are proposing a law to withhold state funding to the UC system unless they cap out-of-state admission up to about 15%. And, of course, that's been something that's kind of spiked. I don't know if that's the job of the legislature to restrict a university from admitting individuals from all over the world.
You want the best.
The best of the best who are qualified to come into the university versus, wait a minute, isn't that a little bit of, what would we call that, affirmative action, perhaps, you know, to where we're going to say that the majority of the enrollment needs to be California students. Huh. I don't know, folks. What do you think about that? Well, we see the California retirement health care unfunded liabilities at $74 billion through 2045. Boy, this is a dead horse we keep beating on, isn't it? I mean, folks, if you're getting tired of listening to that, well, let me tell you something. I'm getting kind of tired of telling you.
$74 billion.
I mean, think that. Put that in retrospect. We just passed a $170 billion spending plan out here in the state of California. And surprisingly, only 48% of Californians support Governor Brown's spending proposal at this point. Good for you, Californians. 46 of you outright oppose it. Good for you, California. Obviously, some people are looking at it the same way we are, and hopefully we can continue to look at that. We need to oppose this spending proposal, this budget. You know, we understand how fragile this budget is with the temporary taxes, Proposition 30, getting ready to expire this year. Got a little hope here. I'm not really surprised at these numbers.
That's a big number, though, Andrew.
Well, it just reinforces, you know, that conservative side of California that we talk about. You know, the fiscal side. You know, the Californians will put a temporary tax. They will do that, you know, in order to better things in our government. But at the same time, when we look at the money, as Violet just called in, if we're looking at a waste, and we think we've got a waste, you know, we kind of step up to that from time to time, and it's great to see, and it's fun to see a number like this that supports some of the claims that we make on this show.
Andrew, we don't mind helping out. That shows the people voted that in temporarily. But to have that be part of $170 billion, I think the folks, like you said, are getting up to there with it, my friend.
They are, man. Here's some interesting numbers here real quick. We see that 57% of adults, unfortunately, want to see stricter gun laws out here in the state of California. 50% say that boosting cigarette taxes to pay for health care is important to them. 33% of Californians believe that requiring voter approval for revenue bonds is very important. That number is way too low, folks. That needs to be like at 80% or 100%. We should never allow the government to pass a bond without us approving it. But unfortunately, hey, man, here's a big talk about the wolf. 42% of Californians have a strong belief about changing the public employee pension plan. You know, and now we see that Chuck Reed has removed his pension plan proposal initiative that he wants to put on the ballot. He has removed it. Let me tell you something, folks. This wolf that we are talking about, now I'm talking to you state employees. We're looking at this huge number, $70 billion for future retiree costs. We're looking at this 42% and higher. In some cases, I think that number is going to be at that 50% eventually. Look, we've got to make sure that we focus on the fact that the private sector must be successful first before any of us receive any benefit.
Private sector must be doing well before we can get any more. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
All right, California, the rest of the nation, time for something you should know, you don't know, maybe you don't want to know, but you're going to know that right now. As we say, today's date in history, 1944, we forget this. This is horrible. 285 German bombers begin that bombing assault on London, England. Wow. 1951, baseball signs a six-year all-star pact for TV and radio rights. Ready? For a whopping $6 million. We need to get back to that, man.
Man, no kidding.
Bring some of these prices down to some of these tickets back to where they're affordable. And, of course, 1964, the unmanned Apollo 1 Saturn launcher tests attains Earth orbit. So we get out there in orbit for the first time. And, of course, 1986, Iranian held U.S. hostages. They escape with the help of the Canadians. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are a podcast and literally where America's voice is heard today, especially thanks to all the callers from the last segment of this show.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. We're talking about California, what's going on in and around on the West Coast, especially up in Oregon and Nevada. And, of course, we're always harping to the state employees out there. When you see numbers like Andrew just threw out there of $74 billion in unfunded liability, the state of California has to be successful for us as workers for the state, for our retirements and things. We have to be successful. And if that means that you need to change your political affiliations and the folks who get that money and appropriate and have those $170 billion, so do so. But be informed, and that's why we put those numbers out there.
You know, a lot of folks don't believe that union guys can be conservative, and, you know, we do a little bit of union talk, and there's a reason why we do a little union talk, and, you know, we'll get back into that later on this year on something, a big project that we're hoping to launch sometime late this year, maybe early next year. But you're absolutely right, Tim. I mean, at some point, we've got to get back to understanding those basic finances, guys. And, you know, when we see the revenue, when we see a $3 billion reserve, when we see a $170 billion spending plan, you know, we can't look at the governor and just say, well, you know, you can't claim poverty when it comes to some of the incentives that we want to get. And unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things. Our economy is very fragile right now, and it's not as stable as a lot of individuals are portraying. And, you know, we just got to be cautious as we go forward, especially since a lot of our bargaining units up and down California are renegotiating their MOUs, and they're at the table with Governor Jerry Brown out here right now. Okay, let's move on, man. Did anybody really watch the debates last night with Fox News?
I watched a little bit of it today because, of course, I had to work. My shift is different. I did get to watch part of it today.
Ah, man, you know, I don't understand why Carly Fiorina is not up on that stage, you know? I mean, they got to make an exception or something because, you know, she obviously did well, I thought. And I watched the undercard debate.
Well, she's dominated those, Andrew.
Oh, my gosh. Well, just she dominates when she's on. I don't understand how come she's not gaining traction across America. As far as a female candidate, I mean, she is the, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little biased, you know. I mean, I supported her campaign when she ran for the U.S. Senate out here in California. But look, I mean, she's the epitome of a female candidate for the White House in America today. And I just don't understand how come that traction, you know, is not getting there when it comes to her. However, I did try to watch a little bit of the first debate. And my girl came in, she goes, well, let's go to Donald Trump's. And so we did. And I thought that we would come back and flip back and forth with C-SPAN. And no, we didn't. I mean, I just, I mean, I've listened to a lot of the conservative and, of course, the Fox version of Donald Trump not being at the debate. And I got to tell you, man, I thought Trump knocked it out of the park on the C-SPAN. I thought It was very, really? Very, very well done. It was interesting to watch the testimonials. You know, he got a little criticism from the press. Well, you know, he wasn't even speaking. Well, I don't think that was the purpose and the point. Anyways, he raised $6 million yes. right off of that. I mean, just like that, as we say, just within 24 hours. And I thought what was more interesting, and I looked at my girl and I said, you know what? This is a huge move for Trump before. This is going to be huge. I just wanted to be on the airwaves and say, you know what? He's going to differentiate himself. He's going to show America that he's not going to be beholden to Fox News. And he did. And when we listen to the callers who are Democrats calling in on the C-SPAN, first of all, I watch C-SPAN all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I watch C-SPAN probably more than in most of the media. I like to watch mm-hmm. the raw as it's happening right. rather than cuts and analysis. And that way I can make my own analysis sure. when I look at it. But, you know, the callers coming in on the Democrat line, there were so many individuals that now say that they're going to support him.
Wow.
And I think that was a brilliant move. And it's just going to be interesting to see if that pans out as the numbers come into Monday and, of course, the following week with New Hampshire. So, anyways, we do have another call online. Thanks for joining the conversation on 503. Guess what? I guess we held him too long.
Andrew, it was probably, as we look back at it now, and it was, he dominated the talk at the beginning of the national debate out there. He was the elephant not in the room, as Megyn Kelly would say. I did not get a chance to see his. I did get to watch about, like I said, the first 45 minutes or so. And I must say, what has taken Jeb Bush and some of the other ones so long to kind of get going? Is it because just Donald wasn't there? He never looked better, I thought. I thought they all looked a lot more relaxed. I don't know. Maybe he takes away from that. But, boy, Donald Trump is doing things that nobody has ever done before. And Carly Fiorina, you got Ben Carson and you have Donald Trump, who have all done very well. She started out with some pretty high numbers, and she has gone down, and you're right. This is the year of the unconventional candidate. She does very well on those debates. Why is that not translating to poll numbers? I don't understand that one either, Andrew. Mm,
that's just the way that is. You know, I thought Governor Chris Christie did probably the best last night. I mean, it was borderline boredom to me. I just
too many.
You know what? I mean, these are the things that are in their ads, and so you know, hey, the debates are over. Let's get to voting. I mean, you know, it's over. It's done. And without a doubt, you know, without Donald Trump's presence in the room, but at the same time, man, it shows how these guys collapse. You know, I mean, if they can only perform within the rules of performance. And what I mean by that, folks, is this. You know, these guys show that they are professional debaters. And so, you know, with Donald Trump not being there to get them off of their game, you know, it really shows how terrible these guys have been, not just in the debates, but the question is going to be, if they can't handle the pressure within a debate because Donald Trump being there, how are they going to go against some of the world leaders? And at the same time, Donald Trump, I thought, successfully showed that, hey, this is what I can do.
You and know, I won't take it from anybody.
I'm not going to take it from anybody, and showed exactly how maybe he can, you know, take a position of negotiation against some of the world countries when it comes to our interest in order to accomplish some of the things that he's campaigning for. Okay.
Absolutely.
Welcome to 503. You're on the air. Thanks for joining the conversation.
All right.
We get losing these calls.
It's okay.
Yeah,
when you call in, folks, give us a minute. We will get to you at 257-TALK. Just let it ring for a moment when you hear me click it. We don't have producers here. We have us here in the studio. We're not like the big boys. We don't have somebody saying, hey, it's Bill on line one. It is us. So give us a moment. We will get to you in the remaining few moments that we do have, so you can give us a call back at that talk number.
Interesting stuff, man. You know, I was talking about last week or 2 weeks ago about Jeb Bush actually not being politically dead, and maybe his performance in the debate might be able to help improve some of these numbers. But, you know, the polls are everywhere when it comes to the primaries, folks, and there's a reason why Gallup is not participating at this point.
Yeah, you haven't heard their name at all, Andrew.
And there's a reason Scott Rasmussen's not participating right now, and it's just because the primaries are up and down all over the place, and everybody's got a poll. But, you know, the state polls are the ones that I try to pay close attention to rather than the national polls. But, you know, sometimes you can add them together. But the Emerson College Polling Society out of New Hampshire here just released last week. They showed Donald Trump leading with 35%, but Jeb Bush is at 18%. And John Kasich is in third with 14% of New Hampshire voters. And so, you know, that's the point we're making, folks. I mean, the polls are going to be everywhere. All the political scientists out there understand that during the primary season. But these type of numbers are what candidates are looking at. Four candidates have got the finances maybe to make it to Super Tuesday. Other candidates are going to have to drop out. And so your ground game is how you're going to win or lose this election. So at this point, four candidates right now, I think, maybe five, have got a serious shot at doing this. And, you know, it's a great team of candidates that I see up there within the Republican Party. And unfortunately, every one of them are going to fall into the scenario that we call the American rejects. And so, you know, it's kind of hard for me to advocate. I mean, Chris Christie, I think, would make an incredible Attorney General of the United States. I think
that's his background.
I think Ted Cruz would make a great Supreme Court nominee when it comes to some of this stuff. And I like Carly Fiorina. It's somewhere.
Somewhere.
You know, Marco Rubio right now would be an awesome, you know, Secretary of State as far as some of the positions that he takes, that feisty position he takes.
Maybe not the number one on the ticket, but right in there with the cabinet spot, we have a very good collection of people on that stage up there.
We do. I mean, Governor Huckabee and, of course, Rick Santorum, all these guys. And, of course, Kasich still viable for the vice presidential pick at this point, the importance of Iowa. And, you know, it's just coming down to the wire, folks. And Monday is it. And, you know, Iowa's going to launch it. But, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, Iowa really doesn't set the stage. And it's almost like New Hampshire resents the way that, Iowa goes and does everything they can not to go the same way as Iowa, and then, of course, we'll get into Nevada, Florida, and then, you know, South Carolina. And, you know, South Carolina is the state that trends to, seems to have the best Republican nominee record, except for last election cycles. The first time they broke it, you know, with Newt Gingrich. You know, they got caught up in that emotion rather than, you know, they got very subjective and lost their objectivity when it came to
looking. My head was kind of spinning there for a minute, but I like how you did that.
You know, instead of getting behind the obvious nominee. Yeah. Question's going to be at this point is whether or not Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump is going to hurt him. You know, for the most part, I saw that endorsement, and I swear to God, man, that is an example of how you got to be careful how you speak, because did you notice how the national media just edited that speech that she made, made her sound like a buffoon?
Well, made her sound like 2008. I could see Russia from my door. In the last, yeah, that's exactly what it did.
And, of course, you know, Saturday Night Live is just having a field day with stuff like this. But, look, folks, it's been a long campaign season. You know, let's get ready to rumble. It's on now come Monday. Can't wait to talk about it next Friday. But I think the surprises that we normally see are getting ready to set up.
Do you think those – is anything going to happen after Monday, come next Tuesday? Are we going to see some people back out? Are they going to wait for the following in New Hampshire, Andrew? Is that what you think?
A lot of people traditionally fall off, you know.
They don't poll very well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it gets expensive at that point. You got to make a decision. And if you can't win, you know, Iowa, if you can't come in like third, maybe fourth at tops, you know, in Iowa going into New Hampshire, you know, after New Hampshire, definitely it's time to make that decision. You know, the question is whether or not you can make it to Super Tuesday. And it's all about money, no matter how you look at it, folks. It's all about the expense of getting your name on the ballots across the nation for the primary elections. And then, of course, establishing that ground game and having people out there, you know, to be able to fund that ground game to get people out to vote for you.
You know, Jeb Bush, former Governor Jeb Bush, had a huge war chest of 100 men. And it looks like he has spent a pretty good amount of that in Iowa and New Hampshire. So I think especially from New Hampshire, what I've been hearing, because his poll numbers there have risen.
Well, I'm a ground gamer, and so right. I've got a lot of history of being on the ground as far as working for candidates and districts and getting people out to vote and getting the message out. So I understand the importance of that. And you just got to have very, very, very excited individuals, you know, to get your vote out. And really, it doesn't matter, man. If 5% of your support shows up to only 4% of the 50% polling guy, you win. I mean, that's just the way that works. And it's going to be interesting to see how America thinks as this primary six, you know, season kicks off this Monday.
Absolutely. Monday. Can't hardly wait to find out and to talk about it next week here on the 503
Report. All right. Now it's time for my favorite book. It comes from Isaiah 49:13. Tell the heavens and earth to celebrate and sing. Command every mountain to join in song. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we want to thank all those men and women who go to work, working the toughest beat in the state, performing the duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this great nation, can be safe.
Heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, and podcasting on iTunes. We can't thank them enough. Go to Podcast Addict, and you can download the icon for us. It's absolutely free, and you can catch our show right there. It's very simple. If I can do it, you can do it. Grab a cup of coffee and join us weekends, Saturday at 7, right before the news and Swap Shop on 1240 KSUE, and Sunday at 7:30 before pre-programmed material. About 20 minutes after the show, you can go to sierradailynews.com and click on the most listened to, highest rated show, and you get the 503 Report. We'll talk to you guys again next Friday, right about 12:15, Monday. Iowa caucuses, Ken Harney, wait to talk about it. Folks, have yourself a great weekend. Remember, we are all born free.
So my question, is TARP an asset or a liability on your resume?
Oh, it's an asset. When our nation faced the worst economic crisis.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning.